Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is Season 6, Episode 1. I'm going to start again from Episode 1 today, even though there was an episode I did earlier in the year. We're going to begin our study of this week's Come Follow Me materials, starting in Mosiah Chapter 11, in the week of Mosiah 11 to 16. Covering May the 13th to May the 19th, a light that can never be darkened. And to begin with today, we're going to look at how even I can stand for Jesus Christ even when I stand alone. This is, of course, the week where we start to look at King Noah. So those of you that have been studying the Come Follow Me materials know that just recently we've been looking at a bit of a flashback in the Book of Mormon. King Benjamin has just passed away, and King Mosiah is the king of the main group of Nephites that we are following at this point. And he has sent a man called Ammon to go and to find out about the fate of the people that went to go find out more about the land of the Lamanites. And he finds King Limhi and his people, and King Limhi is sharing about what has happened since Zeniff kind of took the land. And there is this animosity between them and the people of the Lamanites, who allowed them to go into the land, you know, kind of peacefully, but then started to put hardships and difficulty upon the people. And now we have King Noah, who is the son of Zeniff, and he begins to reign in his stead. And it says in verse 1, he did not walk in the ways of his father. What I find interesting is in verse 2, it says, "For behold, he did not keep the commandments of God, but he did walk after the desires of his own heart. And he had many wives and concubines, and he did cause his people to commit sin and do that which was abominable in the sight of the Lord." The power that a king has to, and in particular King Noah had, to cause people to commit sin. I mean, not only just commit sin himself, not only kind of cause a few people around him to commit sin, but he caused his people to commit sin. A whole kingdom was caused to commit sin because of this one individual, which when you think about it is a significant thing to happen. But it just shows again what was talked about, for example, in Mosiah chapter 29, which is why the idea of judges is included. And this is probably why we have King Noah included here in the narrative of the Book of Mormon, because it just shows not necessarily what a king does, but it just shows what influence a wicked king can have on a people. It says in verse 31 of Mosiah 29, "For behold, I say unto you, the sins of many people have been caused by the iniquities of their kings. Therefore their iniquities are answered upon the heads of their kings." This idea of kingship and how it can lead to wickedness and destruction is shown here. And it is shown later on in the Book of Mormon, particularly when we look in Ether, which of course is the record which King Limhi is so interested about, to learn from and to avoid the destruction that takes place there. We also see in verse 5 that King Noah consecrates new priests in the place of the ones consecrated by his father, which again just shows what Noah was intending to do, or what he wanted to do to make himself be able to make the decisions and choices that he wants. And we'll see that come to fruition in a later chapter. As we go through, we obviously know about the tax and all the things he builds, and basically all the things he builds around him, and the people seem to love this as well. And in verse 20 it then says, "And it came to pass that there was a man among them whose name was Abinadi, and he went forth among them and began to prophesy, saying, Behold, thus saith the Lord, and thus he hath commanded me, saying, Go forth and say unto the people, Thus saith the Lord." What I've noticed this time round, which I thought was quite interesting actually, is that it says there was a man among them whose name was Abinadi. So this is, I don't know what I've kind of in the past thought about Abinadi in terms of where he came from, what was his origin, but it sounds like that he was from the group of people. He wasn't a man from another group of people, or he didn't come from Zarahemla, or, you know, separately from this group people of King Noah. He was a man who knew them. He was known to the people. At least, you know, he knew the people and their context because he was from among them. And I think that this was important because he knew about the wickedness. He knew about the tax and the desires of the king, I suppose, as well. And he tells them in verse 21, "And except they repent and turn to the Lord their God, behold, I will deliver them into the hands of their enemies, and they shall be brought into bondage." When we see this kind of pattern happen throughout the scriptures, people going down a wrong path, making wrong choices, moving away from the Lord their God, and then the Lord get their God doing something to bring them back. And it's just this beautiful, merciful pattern, I find, that the idea that there is always an Abinadi sense, that he was sent to get them to repent, and he will be able to bring us back. Kelly Ogden and Andrew C. Skinner said, quote, "The only way to extricate ourselves from any kind of bondage is to cry out to the Lord. For that reason, he is called the Saviour. He can rescue us from any kind of physical, spiritual, intellectual, or emotional bondage that holds us captive. But note, if we are rebellious, but not if we are rebellious. We have to be quick to observe his light before he will be quick to respond to our plight." Close quote. There is a need on our part to recognize we need to be rescued or retrieved from that situation. And, you know, generally there is an Abinadi sent, one who comes to warn us that they need to make that choice. Now, in verse 27, when King Noah hears about this teaching, he says, "Who is Abinadi that I and my people should be judged of him? Or who is the Lord that shall bring upon my people such great affliction?" Very similar response to Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, where he said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." So this first response from King Noah is that, you know, I don't know this Lord, I don't know this person, so I'm not going to pay any attention to what's going on. Nothing really happened, of course, because of this, and Abinadi goes away for 2 years. Now, you have to wonder at this point, well, what did Abinadi do for those 2 years? Did he kind of just carry on with his life, somewhere else? Did he do something else? You have to kind of presume, because we don't know. He doesn't mention what he does for those 2 years. But you have to presume that he brings himself closer to the Lord. He prepares himself for another 2 years to minister and teach and prophesy to this people. And after the 2 years, he does, of course, return. And what we'll do is we'll continue our study with this tomorrow. So thank you so much for joining us today. Really feels good to be back sharing what I've thought about and reflected about with this study. And please do join us. There is a Facebook group still, Church Jesus Christ Study Session. You can share your thoughts on what you studied there. There's also the email, which has now changed to COJC Study Session. That's Church of Jesus Christ, but just the first initials. COJC Study Session at gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and until we meet again.